Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person, coming up. An MHK who called for an audit of Manx Care says they're still concerned over where the healthcare providers' funds go. The infrastructure minister believes 20 mile an hour speed limits shouldn't be imposed if people don't want them. And a cocaine dealer has been jailed for more than 6 years. That's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. But first of all, the update news headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast am I.
We're being warned to avoid all glens and plantations during periods of high winds as Storm Chandra heads towards the island. The UK Met Office has named the storm, which is forecast to bring strong winds, heavy rain and snow across much of the UK on Tuesday. Here on the island, a yellow weather warning will be in place from 3 a.m. until midday tomorrow, with travel disruption expected. The Department of Home Affairs says it's considering whether to apply the UK's policing reforms to the Isle of Man. Faster 999 response times and licences for officers are amongst the measures that have been announced in England and Wales today. The Infrastructure Minister believes 20-mile-an-hour speed limits should not be imposed on people if they do not want them. Tim Cruckall has appeared on Manx Radio's breakfast programme this morning, marking the first time since his appointment as Minister of the DOI that he's spoken to the media.
I've never known so much anger over something go on for so long. Absolutely do think it's been badly handled by quite a lot of people.
And the Tower of Refuge and Ramsey Swing Bridge will light up red this evening for International Kawasaki Disease Awareness Day. It's the leading cause of acquired heart disease in UK children. Further afield, the Tories say Nigel Farage is doing more of their spring cleaning after Suella Braverman became the third MP to defect to Reform UK this month. The remains of the final Israeli hostage in Gaza have been recovered, allowing the next phase of a ceasefire there to begin. And the World Health Organization claims the UK is no longer being considered to have eliminated measles. It says the disease became re-established in 2024 after falling vaccination rates and a surge in cases. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Garamayu Siobhan. Cloudy with further outbreaks of rain this evening and overnight, potentially heavy at times, and with strong to near gale force southeasterly winds increasing up to severe gale force overnight, giving gusts of 55 to 65 miles an hour expected widely. Rain may also turn wintry over high ground towards the end of the night. Wet and very windy start tomorrow, the easterly severe gales continuing before gradually easing slightly in the afternoon as the rain clears. Top temperature 7 Celsius. Further rain or showers arriving Tuesday evening. As for Wednesday, largely cloudy, a small risk of showers perhaps merging into longer spells of rain later, strong southeasterly winds and highest temperature of 8 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
We begin with a cocaine dealer who tried to flee from police, wearing only his underpants, has been jailed for 6 years and 4 months. 29-year-old Connor Watterson was caught by officers after being seen running out of the back door of his home carrying a blue rucksack in May last year. Sean Cowper has the details.
Douglas Courthouse heard the bag contained cocaine wrapped up in a ball the size of a grapefruit, BBC Isle of Man reports. Jailing him, Deemster Graham Cook said he'd become involved in the murky world of drugs. The court heard police went to the house in Port Erin where Watterson lived with his aunt at about 7:30 a.m. on the 29th of May to carry out a search warrant. When officers arrived, they saw a man wearing only his underpants and carrying the rucksack run from the back door. After being apprehended, he told them they would find what they were looking for in his bedroom. A search of the room, along with the bag he was carrying, uncovered a quantity of cocaine that had a street value of £12,550. Watterson answered no comment when interviewed by police, but later pleaded guilty to possession of cocaine with intent to supply. The court heard he had a previous conviction for the supply of cannabis dating back to 2016. His defence advocate said he was ashamed of his behaviour and the shame he'd brought to his family, particularly his aunt, who had brought him up. The 29-year-old had run away when the police arrived because he wanted to remove the drugs from the property so his family didn't get caught up in it, he added. The court heard Watterson claimed he had become involved in dealing to clear his own drug debt. Jailing him, the Deemster said he was a street dealer who had become involved in the murky world of drugs. He said the substances had a devastating effect on hundreds, if not thousands, of people on the island, and the level of depravity drug addiction took people to included stealing to pay for them. Drugs were dangerous to those who take them, the family and friends of those who take them, and those who supply them, the Deemster said. It was quite clear, Deemster Cook added, that Watterson had lost his way, and it was tragic that at 29 years old, he'd lose years of his life in prison as a result.
Sean Cowper reporting. The Department of Home Affairs says it's considering whether to apply the UK's policing reforms to the Isle of Man. Faster 999 response times and licences for officers are among the measures announced in England and Wales today, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The UK Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood also wants to get officers to spend more time on the streets, cutting the red tape and unnecessary admin she says prevents them leaving their stations. Police there will be given targets to respond to emergencies within 15 minutes in urban areas and 20 minutes in rural ones as part of a major overhaul. It's said to be a response to an epidemic of everyday crime, such as shoplifting and phone theft, which the Home Secretary said was going unpunished. She says the new targets are needed because people are reporting crimes and then waiting hours or even days for a response. Most forces in the UK already have emergency response targets, but the British Home Office says there isn't currently a way of holding them accountable if they do not meet that standard. Failure to reach the new targets would see the Home Secretary sending in experts from high-performing forces to help improve response times. The changes include plans for every police officer in England and Wales to hold a licence to be able to continue working and will have to prove they have the right skills in issues such as tackling violence against women or they'll face being removed from their job. Here on the Isle of Man, the DHA says it maintains an approach of broad alignment to British policing to ensure consistent standards and effective interoperability. However, in a statement, it says there are some areas that will differ, reflecting the local context. It says it will review all changes made and consider their applicability on the Isle of Man, but given the early stages of the policy, says it would be inappropriate to comment further at this time.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
FC Isle of Man interim manager Rick Holden's credited players Stephen Whitley and Jacob Crook for their role in the side's 3-2 win over South Liverpool at the weekend. Whitley scored twice while Crook set up the other as the club moved up to 19th in the North West Counties Football League. It's Atherton LR next for FC Isle of Man this Wednesday. Holden's been speaking to the club's media.
They do play an odd formation, so we'll be working on that. We're training tomorrow, so I'm expecting, because we've got Higgy back now after the fiasco of him being banned, not banned, and then banned again. So we've got another outlet, and Dean's fully fit now. He's got over his thigh and foot issues. So I'm hoping we've got a good, strong side out. It depends who's available, but we'll find out tomorrow. But, you know, we've got up to 30 points now, and we need to push on. I love 4-4-2, obviously being obsessed with wing play and that, and it is the way to go. They operated very well in that sort of going from a 5 to a 3, back to a 5, dropping deep, getting the ball, and particularly the composure of Steve when he gets it, and we talk about him helping us all get up the pitch by keeping the ball and dropping shoulders. And I mean, I think the groundsman has to come on at, well, there's no groundsman, is there? It doesn't look like there's been a groundsman on there for years. They had to come on and twist that fullback out of the ground at half-time because he absolutely twisted him in bits. And second half, he did as well. Jacob's more direct and put some great balls in as well. So we have that, those two wide men doing that. It's great. And the goal for the Sean scored was equally as brilliant in its construction as the two worldies from Steve. So, yeah, really big performances from the two wide men with Jake putting that ball in. We'll go to Atherton, first time, I believe, and we'll take the game to them. I just hope we just need to be a bit more solid. So, you know, I'm glad we've got people like Danny Gerrard back in there. Jowell's now fit again. We've got a lot of midfielders. Mark is putting into that role in front of the back four. So we've got a lot of cover. Kyle's back from his France clamour impressions. So, you know, we've got plenty, hopefully, plenty of solidity in there to go and make it difficult for them. And we'll still have goals in us. We'll go on there and give it a really good go. I'm looking forward to it.
FC Isle of Man interim manager Rick Holden staying with sport, and the Isle of Man has been accepted into the upcoming Home Nations qualifiers for this year's Commonwealth Games for 3-versus-3 basketball. The island's coach Martin Dunn explains what it would mean if they were to have at least one squad in Glasgow this summer.
It would be an unbelievable dream. I mean, it's 3v3 is such a different style of play. It's so much more aggressive, so much quicker. No real time to rest on your laurels in 3v3 and very short games. It's professionalised a lot over the last few years as well. So some of those Commonwealth players would be people who have previously played at a really, really high level, you know, maybe even played professionally in the past and stuff like that. And they're representing their nations. So it's a really tough challenge. If we could manage to overcome some of that, especially from some of those bigger nations that have a bigger pool of players to pick from and have more opportunity to play on a much more regular basis, if we can compete with them, it would be an unbelievable kind of outcome for the Isle of Man, and it would really show the effort, the payoff for all the work and skills development that players have done over the last few years, because they're putting their time and effort in. Nobody on the Isle of Man gets paid to do basketball, unfortunately. We're an entirely volunteer kind of organisation. So if we manage to do that and those guys manage to progress either ladies' side or men's side, it would be an unbelievable achievement for the sport and such great recognition for those players.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Let's start at the airport, first of all, but we have got some big sea news on the way. In terms of departures, the Loganair flight to 20 to 7 this evening to Liverpool is showing us on time. Meanwhile, the 7:20 EasyJet flight to Gatwick is also showing on time. And in terms of arrivals into the island, next is the Manchester, which is due in the Loganair at 6:05 on time. The Gatwick EasyJet is due in at 7:10. And 8:10, the London City Loganair flight is due to arrive. That is showing as on time. Now then, in terms of sailings to and from the island, it's very bad news. Unfortunately, this afternoon, sailing from Heysham to the island was cancelled. So that means no sailing, obviously, tonight back to England. And all sailings tomorrow from Heysham to Douglas have been cancelled. So no sailings on Tuesday. The next scheduled sailing is due to depart Heysham at 2:15 on Wednesday morning.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Manx Radio. This is Update. An MHK who called for an audit of Manx Care's finances says there are still concerns over where the healthcare provider's funds actually go. Joining me in the studio now is Chanel Sakou. Chanel, tell me more.
Well, at this month's Tynwald sitting, Dave, Julie Edge asked Chief Minister Alfred Cannon whether he'd obtain an independent forensic financial audit of the board before coming to the Manx Parliament for support of any governance structure. In the 2024-25 financial year, Manx Care came in £15.6 million over budget before receiving extra government funds. Government's quarterly management counts to September 2025, published in December, show that Manx Care forecasts £9 million overspend on its operational spending, with an additional £4.1 million in cost pressures. Now, Julie Edge told Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gawn why she has concerns.
As you know, I successfully, unanimously got an audit of Manx Care with the Auditor General. But there's still concerns around Manx Care and where is the money actually going? How come it's costing so much? We've seen, it's the cost in services has gone up. But then when you compare that with the UK and their NHS, their percentage increases in costs are far less. And I know we're an island, but if it's for provisions or equipment or something, you know, we're buying from the UK anyway. So I thought there's something seriously amiss when you go from a £210 million budget in 2019 with Minister Ashford, and we're nearly up at £400 million. And the percentage increases in that time in the UK are not the same. There's something quite not adding up for me. And the only way to establish that, you can do order after order internally, but you need that external review. And a forensic audit follows the money, it follows the pennies, and it follows the pounds. And to me, I know it's expensive, and it's in, you know, the Chief Minister said it's expensive, but we need a starting point for any new governance structure, because we cannot just keep throwing more and more money. Virtually, you know, over a third of our budget goes into this area. You'd want to know that your starting point is the right point, and that there hasn't, you know, just been growth for the sake of growth in perhaps in salaries, rather than actually giving that money to the services. We all think we're going to get better services. We haven't seen that. So the outcome is, well, where's that money gone? Is it purely on just building an empire?
Okay, so Manx Radio invited Manx Care and Treasury to respond to Miss Edge's comments. Has there been a response, Chanel?
Yes, Dave. A spokesperson for the healthcare body says Manx Care provides detailed financial information in accordance with its statutory reporting relationship directly to the Department of Health and Social Care. Financial summary information, it says, it's also published via Manx Care's board papers, operating plans and annual reports.
Thank you, Chanel.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Infrastructure Minister believes 20-mile-an-hour speed limits should not be imposed on people if they don't want them. Tim Crookall says his department is looking at the legislation around the scheme and hopes to have a clearer picture by early next week.
At the moment, just stop it all completely. There's been so much angst over this, the way it's been handled, you know, whether it was starting to put poles in when things hadn't been agreed yet and all sorts of things, or just not listening to the public and local authorities. I've never known so much anger over something go on for so long. And I absolutely do think it's been badly handled by quite a lot of people. And I start this Friday, I think, is my first meeting with local authorities. I'm down at Castletown Friday afternoon. And I'm not only to talk about this, but lots of other things as well that they have issues with. But my first meeting is Friday with Castletown.
There was an implementation plan that went through Tynwald in May last year. You were among the members who voted in support of that. If you're not in support of it, why did you vote for it?
Something had to be done, and this goes right the way back to, it's a safety issue more than anything, and that's why it was done. And it was basically, the way it was brought forward was it's an all or nothing, and it's easier to do nothing. Well, it's not easy to do nothing. It's easier to do all of it, so at least you know that the schools and places like hospitals, doctors, surgeries are safe and got that area around them. Going back 5 years or more, in Ann Corlett's case, Ann Corlett started this with her area in Douglas, around the five schools, so she wanted a 20-mile-an-hour area that encased those. And we're going to look at doing that and going back to what Mrs. Corlett wanted and her constituents wanted. I think 77% of those had a view on it, said they wanted this. Also, one of the other meetings I had was with Speaker Watterson and the former minister, Dr. Hayward, who wanted a 20 around the school. And before you know it, the whole of Port St Mary's made 20, when actually that wasn't the conversation that we had at the time. Now, I'm not saying that was their fault, but that's what they got the whole of Port St Mary. The former minister was obviously happy enough with that because she didn't do anything about that. But again, I've had conversations with people. I've had, you know, why did we get this? We didn't want it in the first place. So again, I'm a great believer in the towns and the villages belong to the local authorities. Speak to them, listen to them. And basically, if we can, give them what they want, not what we want to do.
You're listening to Update. Concerns have been raised on Manx Radio's Man in Line about people having problems registering their organ donation decision by phone. Peter Shimon is the Public Health Implementation Officer for the Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act. He contacted Manx Radio with this guidance.
Yesterday on the Man in Line, we heard Sue's comments and the understandable concerns about people trying to register their organ donation decision by phone and then running into some problems. So I just wanted to clarify this. The Organ Donation Helpline is 0300 123 2323. This connects callers to the NHS Organ Donor Register contact centre. When calling, people should then select option 2 for organ donation and then option 2 again to speak to an agent who can help them. There is currently a message on the phone line asking whether callers are ringing about the change in the opt-out law. If selected, this then redirects people to a website. That message was created for England's law change to opt-out, and it doesn't apply to the Isle of Man's law change. We are now working with NHS Blood and Transplant to get this message updated as soon as possible, and we apologise for any confusion this is causing in the meantime. So to repeat, anyone who wishes to register or change their organ donation decision by phone should call 0300 123 2323, then choose option 2, followed by option 2 again. This will connect them with an agent who can support them. I think it's also just important to be clear that organ donation registration is a central NHS service. NHS Blood and Transplant manage all of the organ donation data, and the Isle of Man is included in that system. Public Health does not have access to any personal data, and we can't view or change anyone's organ donation decision. But we do obviously hear the concerns about access for people who don't wish to go online. The phone service exists for that reason, and we want everyone to be able to make their organ donation decision in the way that suits them best. So we will continue working to have that phone message corrected as quickly as possible so that our process feels a little bit more intuitive.
Public Health Implementation Officer for the Human Tissue and Organ Donation Act, Peter Shimon. Now, Nick Elliott is a man on a mission. He's come over to the Isle of Man for the day from England as part of his mission to visit as many parliaments around the world as he can.
This year alone, 24 different parliaments until today. It's my 25th parliament, so it's a special occasion for me. The reason why I decided to visit it, because I love parliaments. I'm obsessed with parliaments. I love democracy. I love seeing how the world works. And I always say that everyone should see the parliament. Everyone should see a parliament. Everyone should visit a parliament to know about democracy.
Okay, so I'll talk more about your journey in a moment, but what did you make of Tynwald?
I found, from a person who's a bit of a geek and a bit of a nerd around parliaments, I found it fascinating, because I've been to some big parliaments. I've been to the Bundestag, which has 736 members, compared to the Tynwald, get it right, was calling it a Time World before, which only has 24 members in the House of Keys, which is the lower chamber.
And what kind of access did you get today?
I saw everything I wanted to see. So it was good. Today I was shown around by lovely members of staff who gave me the history, not just this of the Parliament, but also the history of the island as well, which is fascinating. Because I'm from London, and if you ask anyone where the Isle of Man is, they'll say the Isle of Wight. And I'll go in the Isle of Man, and they'll go, is it south or is it north? Is it next to Australia? So it's good to know exactly where it's located, the culture of the island, to know what the main issues of the island you have at the moment. I found it fascinating, completely and utterly fascinating.
So all this knowledge that you acquire, what do you do with it? Do you log this anywhere? Do you publish on socials or whatever?
Well, the main reason why I did it, because I decided to embark on a trip to all the parliaments of the world, was because I'm a quizzer. I love doing pub quizzes, and I've appeared in a couple of TV programmes. So it just builds up my general knowledge about the world. Now, there's little questions that, you know, people don't really know about. By going to different parliaments, it gives me something better than everyone else, all the other quizzes in the world.
Okay. And so when did you start this journey?
I started this journey last year in November.
All right. But even so you've done 25 now.
25, yeah.
In the last...
Just over a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been to places like Slovenia. I've been to places like Belgium. I've been to Hungary, all the Baltic countries, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. I've been to Cyprus, which is not a crazy place, but it's a city split in half.
Mm.
And some of the members, they don't sit. So the interesting thing about parliaments, they're not all the same. Now, most people think the parliaments are just like their House of Commons, but it's not. Mm-hmm. They're completely different. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Tynwald is so small. It's like, and also what I was told today is that I'm used to like party politics, Labour, Liberal, Conservative, and now Reform. But the difference with the Tynwald is basically that they care about the people. And that's the most important thing I've noticed today, is that the different members of the Tynwald, they care about their own constituents. And that's unbelievable. So congratulations to this beautiful place.
Is it the smallest one you've been to?
It is. Before, I'll give you the members. The smallest ones I've been to before were, Iceland has 63 members. Faroe Islands has 33 members. And this has 24 members in the lower chamber. So yes, it was like being in a living room, which made it cosy.
And where are you off to next?
Okay, deep breath now before I tell you where I'm off to next. Next week I'm going to Moldova. Then after that I'm going to Montenegro. Then I'm going to Bosnia-Herzegovina. Then I'm going to Spain. Then I'm going to France. And I'm going to the place that's a bit of controversy at the moment, I'm going to Greenland.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, before Donald Trump.
And, yeah. And do you just turn up, or is there a bit of preparation in advance?
There's a bit of prep. I contact some of the parliaments, and most of the time they welcome me with open arms. Other times they say that I need to have 40 members to come with me, a group. So unless I have 13 kids, I can't go to those parliaments. But yeah, that's what I mainly do. So now it's come to the point where they're inviting me to come along. So if anyone knows anyone who works in the parliament in the world, contact me and I'll be there tomorrow.
Nick Elliott, who's flying back from the Isle of Man this evening. Now it's time for sport, brought to you by the Print Shed. And at the sports desk is Darren Timpson. Fast am I.
Starting with football, Corinthians have been drawn against Peel in the Women's Canada Life Floodlit Cup semi-finals. The league's top two will face each other for the second time in 2 weeks after the Westerners beat the Whites 4-1 at the Ball yesterday. Meanwhile, Onken meet Douglas Royal for a place in the final. The ties will be played on Sunday, the 1st of January. On to men's football, where Colby capitalised on Castletown's shock defeat to St George's to go 4 points clear at the top of the Arden and Drogon Division 2 table. Colby beat Morale 3-0 on Saturday. Meanwhile, Rycall produced an inspired second-half display against Douglas Royal. The Ramsey side found themselves 3-0 down at half-time to take a point from the game as they drew 4-all. In the Canada Life Premier League, Corinthians are keeping their distance from Peel as they beat Onken 6-3, with Sean Doyle and Danny Simpson getting 2 goals each. Peel had to break down a resilient Foxdale side as they needed an 88th-minute goal to secure a 2-0 win. In rugby, Douglas couldn't take advantage of their game in hand at the weekend after being beaten in the Regional 2 Northwest. They lost 41-29 to Burnage, however they did receive a losing bonus point. The Manx side could have moved up to third in the table, only a win behind second place Sandbach. Elsewhere, so the Nomads beat Western Vikings 46-5 at Billikili Park to move into second place at the Hartford Homes Manx Shield. And so the Nomads under-16 side beat Vagabonds 41-31 in the Hartford Homes Junior Manx Cup. And in hockey, Backers A beat Vikings A 4-2 to move top of the Men's Premier League, while there were wins for Harlequins A and Vikings A. Meanwhile, in the Ladies Premier League, Valcards A beat Castletown A 2-1, Vikings A beat Backers A 1-0, and Harlequins A beat Vikings B.
And we'll just finish on that, Darren. We're just saying that Women's Canada Life Floodlit Cup final will be Sunday, the 1st of February.
Yes, it will be, January. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Darren. And that's it for Update Tonight. Thank you to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. And you can download this podcast version of Update, plus many other podcasts that Manx Radio produces daily from manxradio.com. And if you have a topic you think we should be covering, you can always drop an email to update@manxradio.com. A choice of listening as well on Manx Radio FM this evening. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil Gorn. Then there'll be Greatest Hits. And then at 9 o'clock, it will be Ian Cottier. But that's it from myself, Dave Moore, for now. Catch you next time.